Good evening. It's good to be back with you this evening. Like I said, Bree and I kind of feel out of sorts. We've been gone for a couple of days and went to Wichita and watched a nephew bowl. And he bowls collegiately, so it was pretty nice to get to watch him bowl. So, he's a senior this year, and he did pretty good. But yeah, we just got back not too long ago, and so it's good to be here though. And it's good to have Mike back, I'm sure, this morning, back in the saddle. So praise God for that. Glad to have you back, Mike. This evening, the lesson is always stay humble and kind. Always stay humble and kind. I got the idea off of it's a country song, but I like the words. Always stay humble and kind. And that's the basis of the lesson this evening. In this lesson, we'll understand what it means to be humble, and we'll also see the importance of being kind. These are two traits that Jesus practiced, and we must do the same. The world needs to see more humble and kind people. They need to see that. This evening, the first word we're going to look at is humble. What does it mean to be humble? The dictionary says having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. Lower in dignity or importance. In Psalm 25 and verse 9, and this is out of the ESV. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble in his ways. When we humble ourselves before God, he will teach us how to be humble. We must want to be taught. That's the key. We must want to be taught. You know, I couldn't help but think about the Pharisee and the publican here. The Pharisee and the tax collector. In Luke chapter 18, if you would turn there. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to look at verses 9 to 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. The Bible reads, "And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner.'" Then in verse 14, "I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." We see the difference here. You know, the tax collector definitely had the better attitude. He had the better attitude, and this Pharisee was very arrogant. He was proud of himself. He was pointing out things that he had done. We are all workers for the Lord, and it's not a competition to see who the greatest Christian is. We must compliment one another and push each other to be better servants of God. The Pharisee even pointed out that he wasn't like the others, or like the swindlers and the unjust, and he even pointed out like this tax collector. He wasn't being honest to God or to himself. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we know this verse, we should know it by heart, "But for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's easy to point out others' faults, but we have faults of our own. We must be honest to God, and we must be honest to ourselves. Also in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we are living in sin and do not repent of the sin, we will spiritually die. We all have sinned, and we all have the blood of Christ that continually cleanses us if we truly repent. You know, the tax collector, he could not even lift his eyes toward heaven. He could not even lift his eyes toward heaven. That's the example of being humble and being shameful for our sin. He said, "Be merciful to me, the sinner." That's a model prayer that we should emulate. That's a model prayer for us to emulate. We must realize that we have sinned and must ask for forgiveness. You know, under the new law, we have that, and it's a blessing that we take for granted. We have forgiveness of sin as long as we repent of that sin. You know, under the old law, they did not have that. They did not have forgiveness of sins. No sacrifice could take sins away or forgive sins. God saw we needed something better. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for us to have that forgiveness of sins. You know, there are promises to being humble. There are promises. And number one, James chapter 4 and verse 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6. "But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Second promise, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible reads, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." That he may exalt you. And then our third promise is found in Luke chapter 18 and verse 14. Luke 18 and verse 14, and we read that, says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Humility must be practiced. We must be humble. It is not simply a mental attitude. Our actions define if we are humble or if we are exalting ourselves. Paul knew what it was like to be humble. He knew that. Paul knew this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10. "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." Paul ascribed all his hard work to the grace of God. We must also remember the credit of our hard work and attainments go to the grace of God. Humility is not thinking badly of oneself, but rather attributing the glory to God, who has allowed us to attain what we have. God has allowed that. We must have humility towards others. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. "Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Also in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Look at part B there. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with him." toward one another. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Paul explains, also he explains this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. It's easy to satisfy self first, but we need to turn that around. You know, we live in a selfish world. We must quit thinking of selves first. We must consider others before us. There are three things here. You know, a marriage will only work properly when we seek the interest of our spouse. You know, a friendship will only work properly when we seek the interest of the other person. And then the church will work properly when we are seeking the interest of others here. We must serve one another. We must go the extra mile. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He was serving. He was serving. Jesus saw to other people's needs. You know, service is doing things for others that you know they would appreciate and appreciate it being done. Second thing, we must learn from one another. We must learn from one another. We want to think that we know everything and have no need to be taught by anyone. That's a prideful attitude. That's a prideful attitude. We need to be willing to learn from each other by our actions and by our speech. We are not here to win arguments, but to seek the truth. Then third thing, we need to honor one another. We need to honor one another. We must respect and care for one another. Our service and submission is about respectful, is about being respectful to one another, even to those who we think are undeserving. Jesus exemplified this by honoring each of us by his sacrifice for us. We did not deserve that great sacrifice. We didn't deserve it. Jesus died for us out of love and honor for us. As Christ did this, we too must honor one another with the same sacrificial love. Now, second word this evening, we're going to talk about kindness. Kindness. What does it mean to be kind? Well, kindness is kind is an adjective. It's a good benevolent nature or disposition as a person proceeding from benevolence. It's a generous, helpful thinking about others. When we think of this word kind, we know that it's an action as well. Being humble and kind kind of go hand in hand. You know, it's also one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Are we practicing kindness like we should? Or are we being crabby? Are we practicing kindness or are we being crabby in a bad mood? We definitely need more kindness in the world. And it could be infectious by our example. If we aren't kind to others, then we aren't being good examples. Kindness is really an attribute of God. He practices kindness on us as we should to others. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. The Bible reads, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." God showed his kindness by sending his one and only Son to die on the cross for us. You know, in Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36, talks about how to treat our enemies. And this is something that we deal with. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Verse 36, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. If we do these things, our reward will be great. If we practice these things, our reward will be great. We must be kind to those around us and don't expect anything in return. You know, I couldn't help but think about the Good Samaritan. You know, the Good Samaritan definitely showed kindness. And if you would, be turning there in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read verses 30 through 37. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went down, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when they saw him, he passed by the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on him. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35. On the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. You know, if we know that this Samaritan showed kindness. You know, there was the priest and he went by. You know, he did not show kindness, and neither did the Levite. But the Samaritan showed compassion. He showed kindness. He bandaged up his wounds and poured oil and wine on him and took him to an inn so he could be taken care of. And said, I'll take care of the bill, and I'll be back to repay if there's anything else spent. But that's the kindness that we need to show. This man expected nothing in return, just did what he thought was right. You know, it's in verses 36 and 37 there. You know, when God's people fail to practice kindness, they fail to be God's people. They fail to be God's people. Kindness shows respect to the dignity of man as one who is created in God's image. It is why we need to show reverence to God. We need to show reverence to God. We must have love to be kind. We must have love to be kind. Kindness reveals the love of God in our hearts. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We must make efforts to be kind and show kindness. You know, we're not born to be naturally kind-hearted. we grow to become one. We grow to become kind. It's something we learn by others' actions. Kindness breaks down barriers and boundaries, and it opens up the door to the fullness of God's love and fellowship. It's God's word. If God's word talks about kindness and has examples to follow, then we must put it in practice. This world could use more kindness. Many times we may be in a bad mood, or and it makes us be ugly to one another, to those around us. We don't want to send off that kind of vibe. We don't want to do that. It's hard to be kind all the time, but we must do our very best, because that's what God deserves, our very best. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 21. Proverbs 21, verse 21. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life. Will find life, righteousness, and honor. Also in Job 6 and verse 14. Job 6 and verse 14. He who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. Kindness will do us much good to those around us, and it will make us glad to be able to help. You never know whenever we may need help sometime. We need people to step up and act and not sit around and wait for others to act. There are many acts of kindness that we can do. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? You know, the acts of kindness that we show may influence those around us. And it can spread like wildfire. It can spread like wildfire. We need to be happy to serve God and to serve those around us. So many times we get busy in our own little world and we aren't looking for acts of kindness. There will be doors that open up, and we must seek those opportunities. And I'll close with this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Those are the things that we must practice. But we need to always be humble and kind. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you've struggled in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be.